Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
Pastor Dominic Grimaldi here with Street Talk Theology. We take theology and take it to the streets. Well, got a three-part sermon series coming up on the blessings that Jacob gives to the 12 tribes of Israel. Very interesting stuff. There's a lot there. Take your time. I think we'll be able to get something out of this over the next three sessions. So with no further ado, the blessings from Jacob on the eventual 12 tribes of Israel. So we are in about the 57th week of Genesis. So we're just about wrapping up, and I'm in the middle of dealing with the end of Genesis and then going into Hosea next. So I'm kind of caught in the middle, right? We don't want to be caught in the middle between two opinions, but I'm caught in the middle between finishing up here in Genesis and then transitioning over to Hosea. But last week, we encountered the blessing upon Joseph, remember, and his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And we were told that the older, if we know the text, right, the older would serve the younger. And at first blush, this kind of angered Joseph because, you know, Joseph had it, because Jacob couldn't see that well. And Joseph had it arranged that obviously Manasseh would get the blessing as the firstborn. But that wasn't the case, as we've seen the crossing of the hands, so to speak. But Jacob, who's, like I said, going blind at that time of his debt, told Joseph that Manasseh would be a great people, but not as great a people as his younger son, Ephraim. That's why we can't always figure God out. And there's a huge lesson in that, that, you know, we may think something because we look it, but we don't know who God's people are at all. So that's why we want to preach the gospel to everybody. You know, we pray for souls to be saved all the time. And in fact, the tribes will actually bear Joseph's sons' name, not his own. This again would come under the providence of God. Even though Jacob adopted Ephraim and Manasseh, and because of that, Joseph kind of received like a double blessing, but still they wouldn't be the tribes of Joseph. It would be Ephraim and Manasseh as two of the 12 tribes, right? All under the providence of God. Jacob was a true patriarch, a father of the faith, making sure that the blessings are passed on to his children. This is something that's biblical. If you're a Christian, I mean, that you want to be able to, and on your dying bed, and, you know, bless your children and grow, pray that they grow in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Sometimes we don't do these things, but these are biblical mandates. No, we're not prophets. We got enough right here, but we can bless them and still ask for the Lord to protect them and keep them. And we know the divine promises of God are yes and amen, all for the glory of God, right? And then Jacob reflected on his wife Rachel's death and also made Joseph promise to bury him in the same tomb where Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, Rebekah, and his first wife Leah were buried. We spoke about that. But now we encounter one of the most difficult sections in all of Scripture. And it's a humbling task to try to tackle this here in Genesis. The Hebrew is really kind of convoluted. Again, you know, it's hard. You know, and I say this, I don't want to be facetious, but, you know, my mom used to speak fluent Italian, right? And when she would tell a joke in Italian, I would say, "Hey, Ma, can you tell us that in English?" And she would say it just wouldn't make much sense in English, you know. So I'm not saying we're going to be able to expound this as best as we can, but like I said, it's a tough text, so pray for me as we try to get through it. even some of the expositor that I use to help interpret, this text says it's kind of a daunting text because, again, the Hebrew is kind of obscure and it's kind of hard to interpret. But with that being said, it's prophetic in nature. It would have to do with the latter days of each of the sons' lives and what God has ordained for them through the patriarch Jacob. So let's go to the text, and we'll ask the Lord to open the eyes of our heart, right, as we kind of navigate through this text. And again, it's a poignant text. Death is going to, you know, if you're a Christian, you are going to live eternally, but physical death, I'm sorry, we're all going to face it. And Jacob here is on his deathbed, can't see that well, kind of shadows, and he's going to bless his children, so to speak. So let's read the text. Let's start in the 49th division of Genesis. We'll start in the first verse. Then Jacob summoned his sons and said, "Gather together that I may tell you what will befall you in the latter or the last days. Assemble together and hear, O sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my vigor, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in strength, uncontrolled as water. You shall not have preeminence because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are brothers, their swords are implements of violence. Let my soul not enter into their council. Let not my glory be united with their assembly, because in their anger they killed men, and in their self-will they humstrung oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is strong, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them amongst Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Judah, as for you, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He crouches, he lies down as a lion, as a lioness. Who dares rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. He ties his foal or donkey to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washes his garments in wine and his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are dark from wine and his teeth white from milk. Zebulun will dwell at the seashore, and he shall be a shore for ships, and his flank shall be toward Sidon. Issachar is a strong donkey, lying down between the sheepfolds, and he saw that a resting place was good, and that the land was pleasant, so he bowed his shoulder to bear burdens, and became a slave at forced labor. Verse 16, Dan shall render justice to his people, and one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent in the way, a horned snake in the path that bites the horse's heels so that his rider falls backward. For your salvation, I hope, O Yahweh. As for Gad, riders shall raid him, but he will raid at their heels. As for Asher, his food shall be rich, and he will yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a doe let loose. He gives beautiful words. Last two blessings here to Joseph and Benjamin, starting in 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a spring. Its branches run over a wall. And the archers bitterly attacked him and shot at him, and they bore a grudge against him. And his bow remained firm, and his arms were agile from the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there is a shepherd, the stone of Israel, from God of your father who helps you by the Almighty, or El Shaddai, who blesses you with blessings of above, of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast of the womb, blessings of your father have surpassed the blessings of my ancestors. up to the uttermost bounds of the everlasting hills, maybe on the head of Joseph and on the top of the head of the one distinguished among his brothers. 27, in closing this section, Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he devours prey, and in the evening he divides the spoil. Tough stuff. I mean, a lot of stuff. I think we can nail this if we give me a little chance to get where I need to go, and we'll try to nail this. There's a lot here. You can't break this up. You can't do this one week to the next. There's so much here, and if I would have stopped halfway, it just is not going to do the text no justice. Some texts are just like that. So pray for me as I navigate here. There's a lot here. One thing I want to say is that, let me say this just before I start preaching this. Our character matters. And yes, we are saved by grace. That is a gift from God. But the Bible says to make our calling and election sure, right? So our character matters. And I think what we're going to see in this text is there's going to be some rascals in this text, and there's going to be some, what we're going to find out in this text is that even though these are God's people, they are not perfect by no means. And I think we can take some solace in that, but there's some challenge in that too. I mean, we're never going to be perfect on this side of heaven, that's for sure. But there is some challenges in this text that we want to look at. Me first, you second. So there's a lot here. Now, think about this. Peter says we are going to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen race. And Peter has reminded us again to make our calling and election sure. Again, God's election is his choice, but we have to play out our election. What we do doesn't save us, but what we do shows that we're saved. So that's that sovereignty and responsibility. We see that in the Bible. Spurgeon says they're like, Chris, they're an antinomy, right? They're like it's a scientific word. It's like two lines running in a different direction. They kind of don't meet, but they do meet. Salvation and what you do. But you are saved by grace. But again, it's got to show in one's life, right? That's fair to say? That's cool, right? Okay. And that's what we're going to see here. And that doesn't mean we're not going to act like rascals. Sometimes we are. Sometimes we're going to have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. We know that. But I think this is a challenge for all of us. Me first. We're saved by grace, but that free gift of grace must be evident in our lives. It must reveal that we are a separate people of God, and we beat to a different drum. We want to be careful not to abuse grace, or better, that sin, that grace may abound, as Paul said. We have a stewardship to uphold. Let us continue to pray to uphold whatever has been assigned to us, lest we are found wanting. Serious stuff, really. For all of us. Again, me first. So we want to look at this right. So we start off the chapter. It's like an assemble, right? A call to assembly. Jacob says, he says, gather together. Let's come together. So notice here, it's not like, okay, I'm going to take Glinda on the side and Russ on the side or Harlan. No, this is together. We're here as a people of God, and Jacob is going to bless people in an assembly. And some, we will find out, is going to be a lot different than the others. He pulls the curtains back on people's lives. And Jacob, we know at times, could have been a rascal. We know that, Jacob. You know, we know Jacob's life, but he came to a point in his life where he knew what God wanted him to do. Now he's going to dole out some admonition, some blessings, some challenges. And he's going to put people, as the Italians say, put them on the carpet. He's going to put some people on the carpet. Just a quick question, if I may, And this is a question. And we need to interact. First of all, am I ready? Are you ready to be summoned in this way under divine scrutiny? Are we ready? And I know that we are saved by grace. I know we are saved by Christ. I know that. I'm not, please don't hear me. I'm not preaching works or anything. But at the end of the day, we're still going to be responsible for the stewardship that God has given us. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with what we have done with the salvation that God has given us. It's a stewardship. And it's a tough text because I got to keep making sure that I make you understand that you are saved by grace and grace alone. Marvelous grace. But are you making your calling and election sure? That's a challenge, right? We want to be careful here. Salvation of the Lord, it's a gift of divine grace. But again, a man is known by his fruits. And that's what is said here. And that's what we must delve into this morning. And this section of Scripture can enlighten us in a twofold manner. Twofold, just for by way of application. It will challenge some on their walk with the Lord, where maybe they can rethink their stewardship, making sure that they are faithful. That's a challenge. A challenge for all of us, maybe. Others who will encourage them. They believe by God's grace they're accomplishing what God has entrusted to them. For them, I encourage to keep on keeping on. Right? Just going to, you know, we'll talk about this as a family of God, right? It's important stuff. The first admonition is to Reuben in verses 3 and 4. We are told that he, in fact, is the firstborn, but the text also told us he had lost his firstborn status because he defiled his father's bed in Genesis 35, if I'm not mistaken. Now, it's funny, when he went into Bilhah, when he defiled his father's bed, Jacob said absolutely nothing in Genesis 35. You talk about putting something in your watch pocket, Glinda, right? I mean, when this happened, he put this in his watch pocket. And then when the time came, he reminded Reuben of what you did. Maybe Reuben might have thought, Gene, that he got away with it, right? But now when he, under divine scrutiny, in front of the whole congregation, he says, you've lost your firstborn status, and you know why. Because he defiled his father's bed. And see, there's a huge theological premise here, that amongst the congregation of people, there's nothing wrong with confession of sin amongst the people of God. And far be it from us that we would ever look down on somebody, because we need to look in the mirror first before we even admonish somebody. And Harlan, you do it in fear and trembling as an elder, because you know it can happen to yourself. But still, sin needs to be addressed. And we don't do enough of that today. Don't do enough of that today. As a congregation, not in a way of saying that I'm better than you, in a way that, hey, I want to come behind you, but you need to be reminded of your sin here. And it's, you know, and I don't think, you know, I don't think all the other brothers are going, oh, wow, Reuben, look at you. They're probably saying, man, I'm next. What's in my heart? This is challenging stuff. And again, I want to be careful to read the word rightly and try to envelop it as best as we can. Jacob, as I said, was eerily silent in chapter 35, but not here. Reuben is deemed unstable, a reckless man, not to be trusted with the firstborn status. Reuben's a double-minded man. He defiled his father's bed. Then he wanted to rescue Joseph from the hands of his brothers. It was not successful. And a double-minded man, the Bible says, is what? Talk to me. You're unstable in all your ways. We don't want to be double-minded. We don't want to have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. We don't want that. I challenge you, if that's the case, me first, you second, rethink that. One thing the enemy hates is thinking Christians. You know, if there's some things that, and I say this all the time, talking to seeing Dave and Lana here today, right? But I say this all the time. There may be some things that Dave can do and Lana can do that Dominic can't do. And we have to know what those boundaries are in our own lives. So I think it's a good maybe measuring stick of what we can do and what we can't do in this life. He defiled his father's bed. Like I said, Reuben committed an unclean act. He'd pay a dire price. Now, he committed adultery, but sometimes we can commit spiritual adultery. And this is, again, having one foot in and one foot out. And again, I want to be careful. Please don't hear me. I'm not being legalistic. But there's times we commit spiritual adultery. And it's a challenge. It's not, right? The world is not our friend. In fact, the Bible tells us being a friend of the world makes us an enemy of God. Reuben lost what was rightfully his because of his rebellion. Cain, Ishmael, Esau, all lost their firstborn status. Reuben cannot be trusted for that which he's been entrusted. You know, Timothy says something, and Paul tells Timothy something important. He tells him, and Spurgeon preached a message on this. You think I'm long-winded. I think he took one text and he preached for 2 hours. But he told Timothy to guard the deposit. With the word that's been entrusted with you, he said to guard it, to keep it. Because we're going to need it. We're going to need to guard what God has given us. The deposit, the great deposit of salvation being of the Lord. And we're going to have to guard that because there's going to be so many infiltrations in the world today to come against that. So we got to guard it. And that's exactly what Paul told Timothy. Guard the deposit. Guard what has been entrusted to you by God. Trying to get my accent to line up with the guard and the God. Right? But not with worldly and empty chatter, Paul says. Don't just talk to move the air around. Talk with a purpose. We're people of God. We beat to a different drum. Let us be purposeful in our speech. What Reuben did was try to usurp his father's power. He defiled a marriage bed. As the writer of Hebrew warns us for this, Reuben had been disqualified. I don't want to say from salvation, but from office. He lost his office of the firstborn. It doesn't get any better for the next two brothers, Simeon and Levi, a reckless bunch who were implements of violence. We remember what they did to the Shechemites in Genesis 34. When Dinah was defiled, they did not wait for vengeance to come from God. They took matters into their own hands by way of subterfuge. They told the Shechemites to be circumcised so they can be part of the Jewish family, but when they were sore from circumcision, they struck and wiped out all the Shechemites and made Jacob odious in the land. Here's another thing. Listen, as Christians, we need to keep our word. We need to keep our word. It's important to keep our word. If we say something, we keep it. Or don't say it. The Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Right? I mean, this is practical stuff. It really is. And here, Simeon and Levi, they turned around and said they wanted to make a pact with the Shechemites. And we know what happened. They took Dinah. Raped Dinah. We know the story. But my mother always used to tell me, two wrongs don't make a right. Right? We're the people of God. I mean, should we not beat to a different drum? I mean, should we not act differently? You know, so here we know the story. If we're Bible readers, if we know the Word of God, we know exactly what happened here with Simeon and Simeon and who's my other guy there? Levi, right? Now, we don't know about hamstrunging. The only thing I was thinking about, the Bible doesn't tell us when these brothers crippled oxen. It could have been in their defeat of the Shechemites, which would be totally over the top. Jacob holds their animal abuse against them. We don't know when this happened or how it happened, but obviously it happened, right? In fact, their violence is described in Hebrew. The Hebrew is really interesting. Cold-blooded and ruthless infringement on the personal rights of others, motivated by greed and hate, and often use of physical violence and brutality. It's a serious charge. I mean, these are God's people. I mean, now think about this. But then the Bible says if you even think like this, it's like committing the act. This is tough stuff. Thank you again. This is Street Talk Theology. We take theology and bring it to the streets. And thank you for listening to the first part of our sermon series on Jacob giving the blessings to the eventual 12 tribes. May God bless and keep all of you.
Thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.